Hey, brother. So we're going to talk about Christian men with no power. Christian men with no power. All right, we're going to dive into the scripture here at the 2 Timothy 3:5 says this, that having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now, this is in the context of the Spirit speaking, expressing in the latter days that many would depart from the faith and give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils and all of those different things. So I want to make sure that we put it inside of that context, but also how it's going to apply inside of our lives as Christian men. If you haven't noticed, and I've noticed, that there is a deficiency. There is a lack of power inside of Christian men's lives. Now, when I say that, I say it in general statement. I'm not saying that every Christian man is weak. I'm just giving like general statements that the average Joe Schmo, who is the average sort of churchgoer, their lives are defined and characterized by a lot of different weaknesses. And not living in power or strength or any way whatsoever. So I wanted to point out that this is definitely a general statement, but I find it to be absolutely true that Christian men in general are not walking in power, they're not living in power. And I can tell you with a surety, because I used to be that person, and I can talk to you thoroughly about what that life looks like. And I'll probably dive into that here in a second, but I wanted to start first with the overall study of the scripture. Okay. So in 2 Timothy 3:5, a form of godliness. That's what I want to focus on too. A form of godliness. What does it mean to have a form of something? Now, this word form has to do with appearance. And with the appearance, it's just like you can see me now. This is my form. And if you can see me, this is the way that I look like. This is my appearance. And what that correlates to is basically an outward display. You can see me because I have a form and I have appearance, and it's an outward physical display of that. So I want to focus on those two first. That they have a form of godliness is they have the appearance. And that means that it looks like it, right? It also means the outward display of that godliness. And you might ask me, Tim, what is an outward display of godliness? Well, it's what the average Joe Schmo churchgoer that's out there is doing. And that is just going through the motions. They may go to their religious institution on Sundays. And they go to meet God there, and they say their prayers, and they give a they throw a 20 in the plate, and they listen to a sermon. They if it's the amen crowd, they might say amen. If it's the stand up, sit down crowd, they might just stand up, shit up, stand up. You know, whatever it is, it's just a tradition and something that's going through the motions. And so, if you look at their lives, it's an outward display of conformity. But what God is interested in the conditions of the heart. Now, this reminds me of the scripture that Isaiah talked about, that these people that they honor me with their lips and stuff like that, but their hearts are far from me. Okay. And so that's tapping into this. And if we would agree, we would, or look at this in, objectively and step outside of it, look at it. At the average Joe Schmo Christian life, you will see it was a life of a form of godliness appearance, and that is just going through these motions, and there's nothing real or tangible behind that. Okay. That gives birth to the other two definitions of this word form, which taps into pretense. Because if somebody is appearing to be something, it means that they're really not. And if somebody has an outward display, so it has this thought and idea of giving a pretense to something. And ultimately, what it comes down to is make believe. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about the way that I grew up and how I fell into appearance and outward display and pretense and make believe. So you can kind of get a sense of what I'm talking about here. You know, being raised inside of the holiness movement, Church of the Nazarene, I went to Nazarene school. We had chapel on every Friday and all of these different things. And if somebody asked me, you know, what is my religion? I would tell them that I'm Christian, right? And the reason why I would say this is because this is what the family is, right? And this is what I was raised in, and this is what is all preached around me, right? And I dressed up for chapel, got the little nice little tie, and like tie, so I did more of the cowboy kind of tie, you know, and showed up, suited up, and was, you know, with them, with the people of God, and all of this different stuff, right? But my heart was far away. And so it was just a life of just going through the motions and accepting faith or Christianity based upon heritage. And what that looks like is I'm going to say that I'm Catholic or Christian or all of these different things because it is my family religion, but I actually haven't accepted it into my heart, into my life. It hasn't become personal, and it's not really who I am at the core, but I'm just going along with this facade and this appearance. So you get how this can happen inside of the average Joe Schmo Christian life, right? Okay. The next word I want to touch on is the form of godliness. Godliness. All right. So the first words that come out in this are piety and God worship. And so when I think about this, I think about the Pharisees who had all of these religiosity and all of these rules and all the stuff that they kept, and they had a appearance of piety and of God worship. In fact, Jesus said that they gave, they fasted, that they prayed, and they did all of these different things. They just did it from a heart that wasn't connected to God. They did it and blew the trumpet to be seen by men, and their thought and idea and intention behind these pious acts was to get some glory, okay? To be seen as piety or holy and all of these different things, right? And here's the danger in this, is that the same disciplines that could bring you life are the same disciplines that could bring you death, okay? And if you ask the average pastor, you know, well, you know, is reading the word good? Absolutely. Is praying good? Absolutely. Is giving good? Fasting, praying, like all of those things are wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. There's nothing wrong with any of those things, right? But those same disciplines are used by those who don't have actual connection with God. And there's a whole different motivation involved with doing those things. You know, there's a motivation to get, and that is people come with selfish motivations inside of prayer to be able to get. Jesus mentioned pious people on street corners giving long flowery prayers and all of these different things. There's all kinds of different motivations of why a person should pray. There's all kinds of different motivations of why people should give. Okay. If we're given to get our ticket into heaven, to buy our way into heaven, or if we're doing any of these things as to try to earn favor and approval with God and get him to love us, then we're operating from this fashion that's very, very detrimental to us, and it's going to bring us a lot of pain, okay? And so that's why you can see the difference here. The next two definitions for form of godliness is holiness and basically living kind of like a gospel life, like you believe in the gospel. You give an outward show that you're all about the gospel when you're really not, okay? And I fell into, you know, multiple different ones of these. I would classify the reason why I could talk about this in such fashion is because here I am. It's me, okay? And giving the outward show that I am in conformity to God and all of this different stuff, showing up at church and all these different things, and basically going through the motions. And my life is extremely suffering on the inside. And that is, I got all of this sin in my life. I'm struggling, like I'm giving into addictions. I'm drinking way too much. I'm consuming pornography, and I'm doing all of these different things. But on the outward show, I appear that I am holy and that I'm good. I believe in the gospel and I have it all together. And that's not to say that broken people who are struggling with addiction can't be in the faith or be children of God. I'm not saying any of that, but what I'm saying is the pretense part. And that is, I show up and go through the motions, sing and clap, like everything's good, but nobody's being real and nobody's getting honest about what is going on inside of their lives. And I found this out as a youth pastor, because I began to get the kids talking, got them into small groups and community, and had them begin to share about the things that are going on inside of their life. And I was like, hearing some of these things, I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, aren't their parents this, that, and the other thing? And it's, yeah, they are. And the reality is, but nobody's talking about this stuff. And since nobody's talking about it, and then nobody wants to deal with the skeletons and the demons and all of these different things that are down in the closets, and it gets swept under the rug and nobody's being real. Okay. And that's the form of godliness, but denying the power. All right. So the next word that I want to talk about is denying. So they deny the power. And that basically means to contradict and to refuse and to reject. So those three definitions, think about these. Okay. So people have a form of godliness, but they deny the power, means that they're going to contradict it, they're going to refuse it, and they're going to reject it. How does this take place in practicality? That's what I want to talk about. So we see the operation of God and the power of God operating in people's lives, and it brings healing, not only to the soul, of healing of the soul, of mind, body, and spirit, and all those different things that he wants to bring healing to, but miraculous healings, demonstrations of the spirit and the power and all of those different things. And there's been a great movement to contradict. And that is to say that God doesn't have the ability to do those things here today. And they say the exact opposite of what God says that his mission was to do, was to bring healing, to heal the brokenhearted, to bring recovery of the sight to the blind, and everything that's correlated inside of the gospel. And then they contradict it. Not only do they contradict it, but they speak and preach against it. And they want to shut off the power of God to the people's lives. And they're vehemently opposed to anything that remotely resembles anything about the power of God. And that is a sad, sad reality. I like to think that I was exempt from that, but I had this happen recently, just to point out how this kind of mentality takes place, and also for me to be humble and let you guys know that I've been in all of these different cases, and I've accepted the word of God inside of my life, and I've dealt with some of these things, right? So I had somebody want to pray for me for an injury that I sustained. By stepping in a big pothole, and I hit the ground, dropped everything in my hands and stuff. And my ankle was shot. And, you know, I had somebody willing to pray. And the thought entered my mind was like, well, okay, you know, I'll just appease him, you know, and just let him pray. And inside of my heart, I'm thinking, yeah, right, whatever, okay? And so I would fall into this category of, I have a form of godliness. I'm talking about God all the time and all these different things, right? But I'm denying the power. What I'm doing is actually refusing and rejecting. What if God wanted to manifest his power that day and do an instant healing so I can begin to be whole? What if? Okay. And that didn't happen. And the reality is I know why it didn't happen. I didn't believe it would happen. I was just placating and appeasing somebody, right? And so I fall under the category of having a form of godliness, but actually saying no, resisting and rejecting the power of God to operate inside of my life. That's the reality, right? I tell you this story so you can connect with it a little bit and then ask yourself, where in your life are you refusing the power? Where in your life are you contradicting the power of God that wants to begin to operate inside of your life, right? The next definition of this is just kind of a whole definition, but it's to refuse to accept the existence, the truth, and the validity, the validation of, okay? And we do that in so many things that happen inside of the New Testament, okay? If you read the New Testament, it is absolutely positively supernatural, okay? We have the Holy Spirit descending, which in another terminology is an entity, a power, a God from another world, inhabits and dwells within us, and it equips us with supernatural power and abilities, with words of knowledge and gift of tongues and prophecy and all of these different things. And we say, nope, I refuse, I reject that, I do not accept the existence, the validity of those things. And then we come up with all kinds of doctrines and belief systems that push those out. I was amazed by this. Inside of the, I think it was the book of Matthew or Mark, within three to four chapters, there was angel communication 4 to 5 times. And we see that inside of the scriptures, that the angels are communicating inside of dreams and giving power and direction and wisdom and all of these different things. But then we look at our own life and say, I cannot believe for those things. I can't believe that God would direct me in a mighty, powerful way, or to use me and all these different things. And so we continue on in our form of godliness, and we deny all the supernatural and all the power that's correlated to that. That's a shame, okay? And that's why I wanted to deliver this message today. And that is, where in your life are you denying the power? Where are you refusing, you're contradicting, and you're saying no to the power of God that wants to begin to operate inside of your life? Could it be your family? It could be inside of your faith. It could be inside of your fitness, or it could be inside of your finances. God wants to begin to operate his power in every single one of those. Where in your life are you not allowing, or you're saying no and resisting the power of God that wants to begin to operate? All right, brothers, I'll see you on the next one. Peace.